All right, we're going to begin our study of the brazen laver that is in the courtyard of the tabernacle. We've concluded our study of the brazen altar, and now we're going to examine the second piece of furniture in the court of the tabernacle. Now this piece, the brazen laver, is inseparable from the brazen altar, because the ministry of the priests could only be accomplished by the use of both the altar and the laver. So the lesson that is clearly presented in the scriptures concerning these two pieces in the tabernacle or in the tabernacle courtyard is that sacrifice and cleansing are inseparable. Sacrifice and cleansing are inseparable. You know, there seems to be a move in what we call Christendom that as long as you have sacrifice, no cleansing is needed. And people choose then to live their lives in filth, thinking that they have been given a sacrifice, and yet they continue to live an unclean, filthy life. Now, that's not Bible. That's not our God. For our God has given us an altar and a laver. Sacrifice and cleansing are inseparable. Our sacrifice, of course, is our precious Lord. Our precious Lord who gave himself for us. Never forget that. We have only one reason for being, and that is because the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, and then our laver is his spirit. His blood opens the door to the kingdom, and we go into the kingdom cleansed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. You see how they come together. You see how the altar and the brazen laver are inseparable. The message of the altar and the laver of the tabernacle is that salvation can never be separated from cleansing. There can be no deliverance from the guilt of sin apart from the purity of heart and holiness of life. Now think about, ladies, when your children were born. Think about the first act that a newborn experiences at birth. I've been in the room when my last two children were born, and when that baby exits the mother's womb, it's not pretty. Oh, how filthy that poor baby is, how blue it is, how full of bodily fluids it is, all kinds of things. So what is the first thing that takes place after birth? It is the cleansing of the body. The baby is not presented to the mother before it is cleaned. Now, Jesus used the simile of physical birth to describe spiritual birth when he said, "Ye must be born again." And with that new birth, cleansing at the laver, God's Spirit takes place. So today, we examine the laver, which introduces us to God's Spirit, who is our eternal laver. So let us read of this first laver from Exodus 30, 17 through 21. This is where God describes what he wants. And again, we see God commands. God does not say please to Moses. God says, do this. I order you to do this. This is a command. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water. And then God gives this admonition, do this or don't do this at your peril. For he says, do it or else you will die, that they die not. You see how God gives the importance of cleansing before entry into the holy place of the tabernacle. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. This is God speaking to Moses. He commands Moses that between the tabernacle and the altar, there is to be a place of cleansing. So after the work of the priest at the brazen altar, the priest then proceeded quickly to the brazen laver for cleansing. You know, you can imagine that his hands were splattered with blood. His feet were splattered with blood, the blood of the altar. And his feet were soiled from the dust of the tabernacle court. And he remembers the warning from God. So clear, they shall wash with water that they die not. Oh, how fearful that was. How much that put your spine in action. I've got to do what God told me to do, or I will die. I must wash. God demands cleansing before entry into the tabernacle. Now, the laver was never used by the congregation, but was provided exclusively for the priest's purification. During the consecration to the priesthood, they had been washed thoroughly at the laver according to the command of Moses. And you read that in Exodus 29:4. And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. This was at the consecration. Now each year, the high priest washed on the Day of Atonement. He put on his holy linen garments, and he made atonement for himself and the children of Israel. We read of this in Leviticus 16:24. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering for the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. Now this was done once per year by the high priest. But on every other day of the year, the priests only had to wash the defilement from their hands and feet before entering the tabernacle to serve. Now even the position of the laver in the courtyard taught a lesson. You know, everything in the scriptures can teach a lesson. As we've said before, there's nothing casual in the Scriptures. There's nothing in the Scriptures you could say, well, I could just throw that out and it wouldn't mean a thing. But there's nothing casual in the Scriptures, and the position of the laver was not placed casually, but it was placed between the altar and the holy place. And in that positioning, it was revealed to the priests God's order in approaching him. You know, you can't go to God in any way except through Jesus Christ. There's an order to things. You can't pick and choose. You can't invent your own way. You can't think of a new way, for the way has been established. The order of things has been established. Now, their sins being atoned for at the brazen altar made it possible to approach the tabernacle in worship. But they could not go to the tabernacle directly. Why? They were unclean. They had blood spatterings, they had dust. They were dirty, they were filthy, but they had to stop at the brazen laver to wash the defilement of the dusty tabernacle court and the blood of the sacrifice from their bodies. They had to be both spiritually and physically clean before they could enter into the presence of a holy God in communion and fellowship. The word of God was clearly expressed in this regard in Leviticus 11:44, the first part. For I am the Lord your God. Oh, how that ought to be broadcast throughout the world. You know, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Now, we'll get to sanctification shortly. But it means to set yourselves apart. People, we're to set ourselves apart. You know, in the New Testament, we're called a peculiar people. Now, unfortunately, some Christians choose to identify themselves in ways that make them peculiar in ways other than what the Scripture talks about. And you see a lot of peculiar Christians. But we're to be set apart. We're to be sanctified. And God said here, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. And then he says, and ye shall be holy. Oh, sometimes I don't feel so holy. Most times I don't feel so holy. Do you? I mean, you can walk around with your hands folded in prayer and look sanctimonious. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're holy. But God says, ye shall be holy. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day when I'm fully holy, fully set apart, fully within the confines of heaven with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, ye shall be holy. Why? For I am holy. You know, God wants holy beings. He desires holy beings at his throne, and he is making you holy by sanctification. Now, the brazen laver, as I said, stood in the outer court between the brazen altar and the tabernacle. You could not go to the tabernacle without going by the laver. The laver was a reminder every day that cleansing must take place. You know, the priests couldn't skip a day. They could say, well, the sacrifices were small today. I think I'll skip a day. No, they would die. The Bible says they would die if they skipped a day. Now, the brazen laver had two parts, the circular brass bowl made from the polished brass mirrors the women brought with them from Egypt, and the brass foot or pedestal. You know, whenever you hear about mirrors in the Bible, it's always associated with ladies. Fellas, did you look in the mirror today? I trust you did. But these mirrors, these brass mirrors, were brought out of Egypt by the women. And in Exodus 38:8, it tells us, "And he made a laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, the size of the laver is not given. Now, I believe the size of the laver in the temple is given. It's given in measures of baths, you know, draw the bath. You draw the bath when you let the water go in the bath? Well, in the temple, it was many, many baths. But in this description of the laver, no size is given. But we imagine that it had to be big enough to hold the large amount of water used exclusively by the priests for purification. We can imagine that fresh spring water, perhaps from a smitten rock, remember that? Perhaps that was poured in continuously for daily purification. You can imagine how foul that water could become unless it was changed often, and I believe it was. So we had no given measurements, and perhaps this is symbolic of the limitless cleansing power of God. You know, God never runs out of soap. God never runs out of water. There's always cleansing water that flows from God and its limitless cleansing power. But as I said, only the priests use the laver for purification. Now, we who trust in Jesus Christ, we who have been born again, what are we called in the New Testament but believer priests? We are called a chosen generation. We are called a royal priesthood. So we take up that similar position in the New Testament. New Testament believers, believer priests. As Aaron and his sons were born into the priesthood, so each of us enters the priesthood by means of the new birth, through the washing of regeneration in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who have been washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus have been made a kingdom of priests, according to Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're kings and priests. So the ministry of the laver is of great spiritual significance in our Christian experience. You know, the Bible says that the Old Testament was given for our learning. It tells us that it was a shadow of things to come. Those things have come. We enjoy that time of those things that have come. But it is of great spiritual significance to our Christian experience. Now, in the brazen altar, we see our justification. But in the brazen laver, we see our sanctification. The water in the laver typified our cleansing through the Word of God. When Jesus left the upper room and headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane just before his betrayal, he stopped in the vineyard in the Kidron Valley and gave the parable of the vine and the branches. He said that every branch that bears fruit must be purged so that it might bring forth more fruit. My, how that answers a lot of questions in suffering, does it not? Sometimes we suffer. Don't you imagine that the fellas trimmed the hedges out here this week, all nice and uniform. But you know, every time they come out with their cutters, the hedges kind of tremble. Oh no, there comes Roger. Roger's the azalea man. He's able to cut hedges miles long, and they're all level. They don't go up and down like this. And Chris did the ones in the front of the building. He got a few of them round, but a lot of them are nice and boxy and square. But don't you suppose those hedges start trembling when they see these fellas? When they come out dressed up in a suit, they say, oh, not today. But when they come out in their work clothes and they have their loppers, oh, how they tremble. They're going to suffer. But you know, don't they look beautiful? Don't they look nice? So that's what we're talking about when Jesus said that every branch that bears fruit must be purged so that it might bring forth more fruit. Perhaps you suffer, but have you ever thought that you might bring more fruit for the Lord? Have you ever thought that perhaps you'll be lying in a hospital bed and perhaps you'll be given the opportunity to testify of your salvation and your Savior? Perhaps you'll be able to give a word of encouragement to some that you'd never give unless you suffered. So the Lord knows what he's doing. Then he told his disciples what he was telling us today. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. Now the Holy Spirit sanctifies and cleanses us, preparing us for service in Christ. You know, the priests could not serve in the holy place unless they were clean. And Jesus Christ says this to us, you cannot serve unless you are clean. I don't want you in service unless you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Boy, we ought to remember that when we step into the classroom, when we step into the office, when you fellows step into the pulpit. Am I clean? Am I able to serve, or am I ashamed to my Lord? Unless you're clean, you're not to serve. Jesus said his words were spirit and life. Preachers cannot preach people into changing, but the only power on earth that will change a natural heart is the living word of God from the living Christ. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born of the Spirit. You know, a lot of preachers have congregations that were born of them. They mimic them. They're preached into the image of the preacher. But Jesus Christ made it very clear, preachers, that ye must be born of the Spirit. Now, the word sanctified means to be set apart. We're to be set apart. We're to be peculiar from the world. We're to be identifiable as being born of the Spirit. First, we are set apart from sin, both spiritually and physically. Secondly, we are set apart for divine service through Christ our High Priest. This process of sanctification was so clearly illustrated when the priests were to physically sanctify themselves and the house of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 29, 5, 15, and 16. Hear me. Boy, when God says, hear me, you don't go to sleep. You perk up your ears and you tremble. What does God have to say to me? And in this case, he was talking to the Levites, the tribe of priests. And he said, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Now remember, what's described in the Old Testament in a physical way, you can always apply in the New Testament in a spiritual way, can you not? So think of this in a spiritual way. They were to physically clean the temple, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. My, how easy it is in our age to become filthy. And I mean filthy. You can't turn the channel without a drop of filth coming out of that tube and clinging to your body, clinging to your mind, clinging to your heart. But they were told to carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. They set themselves apart. Perhaps they gathered in prayer. Perhaps they gathered at the laver and washed. Perhaps they sought the Lord for cleansing, and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord unto the court of the house of the Lord. They went into the inner part of the house. You know, so much time we don't go so far. We throw out a few things. We get rid of that and this. But in the heart of hearts, what filthiness remains? But they went into the heart of hearts and cleansed that place. Now, as I said, that which is taught concerning the physical life in the Old Testament is fully expressed in the spiritual life in the New Testament. They cleansed the temple, but today we are the temple. You are the temple. That which was done in the temple in the Old Testament is to be done in your temple. God expects filthiness to be carried out, that the house of the Spirit will be clean. You know, I love to go into a clean house. I love to go into my house. My wife is good about keeping the house clean. It's so comfortable. It's so nice to be able to sit in a room without clutter, without nastiness. It's so nice to go into a kitchen where everything is in its place. You don't have dishes piled in the sink. You don't have old paper plates falling out of the trash. It's so nice to have a clean room, a place of order. And God expects that that be true in ourselves. God expects filthiness to be carried out. Did I meddle, by the way? Good. We all need a jolt. We all need a jolt. If you got a messy house, clean it up. Clean it up. It ought not to be. Let all things be done decently and in order. Boy, I got to get my shop done. I'm preaching to myself. But we read of this in 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. You know, such were some of you. You were filthy. You were sinful. You were full of sin. And Paul says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is saying, be what you are now. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a king. You're a priest. Fulfill those positions, Paul is saying. Don't let the filthiness come in. Walk in truth. Walk in righteousness. Walk in clean living, cleansing your heart on a daily basis by the washing of the Word of God. Do you get in the book every day? Do you ask the Lord to take the Word of God and put it in your body, put it in your mind, put it in your heart, that cleansing power will take place and that you can walk in truth? That's what Paul was saying. Act the part. Now, I use that word act not correctly because we don't want to be an actor, but fulfill the part. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're born again. And be cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. We're thankful that the Lord gives us His Word. Father, thank you so much for the teaching, the clear teaching about the laver. Oh, Lord, we live in a dirty world. We live in a world where filth can be sent across the seas in an instant, where filth is all around us. But, Lord, we can be washed by the Word of God. And we're thankful, Father, that there is a cleansing power, a cleansing power to wash any filth off of us. Anything the world can come up with can be washed by the washing of the Word. Do bless our dear brother as he preaches to us this morning in the morning service. We look forward, Father, to him as he preaches to us. Lord, help our hearts and our ears to be reined in, that the washing of the Word of God can take place today. In Jesus' name, amen.